Let's open our Bibles to the book of Joel. We've been talking about Judgment Day, the last days. We talked about God restoring the years the locusts have eaten as we repent and what God will do. We talked last week. We're in Joel chapter 2:28. We got through an entire half a verse. Woo-hoo! And so I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to anoint his word so that we can get through at least the next few verses in the book of Joel. And we were talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, I also know that what probably happened today, if it didn't happen to you, it happened to someone very, very close to you or someone here watching online. It seems like whenever we talk about the Holy Spirit, everything but the kitchen sink is thrown at you. So that you don't hear, so that you don't learn, so that you don't come, so that you just, I'm just going to take it easy this Sunday. The car is breaking down. We had almost two of our three toilets broke down this morning. No! Only the kids' bathroom, the boys' bathroom was open. And yeah, you can just imagine with all the boys. So, but the bottom line is, whenever we talk about the Holy Spirit, there's the Lord is trying to get the word out. And so be open to whatever God has to say. And we did Joel verses 2:28. We talked about the Holy Spirit. We talked about, this was just last week, how out of 176 million American adults who identify as Christian, only 6% or 15 million of them actually hold a biblical worldview, which is incredible to me. They just don't know what the word says for themselves, unfortunately. And some 62%, not just those who identify as Christian, but 62% of self-identified born-again Christians, okay, they got to be really solid, contend that the Holy Spirit is not a real living being, but merely a symbol of God's power. 62% of born-again Christians. So it's scary what's out there. And we talked about the two different camps out there. There's the one camp, And God bless them. They are solid in the word. They love the word. And they strive very hard to stick to that word. And they're saved. But they don't allow the Holy Spirit the free reign. And so they tend to be a little bit dry, a little bit rigid, a little bit religious. And they're almost cutting off a lot of what God can do. Because we don't believe in miracles. We don't believe that God can still do miraculous things today. And so... that's that camp, and we see these other weirdos on this side, and the other camp, they don't really live like they're supposed to be living, and they say they're all filled with the Spirit, and so we don't want any part of. We talk about the Holy Spirit, and He's nice, and He saves us, but that's about all we want to do with the Holy Spirit. And then there's the folks on this side who we want to be so open to the Holy Spirit. We're going to be open to any spirit. And we'll be open to a fleshly spirit, demonic spirit, Holy Spirit, whatever. Woohoo! We'll swing from the chandeliers. And they're not guided by the word of God. And this group, unfortunately, still values the word. But the word is kind of like an afterthought. So you have the Holy Spirit as an afterthought on this side. And you have the word of God as an afterthought. So you don't have those guardrails here to go off course. And what happens is, you're limiting yourself on this side and you're going places that you shouldn't be going over here. And so God uses the Word of God and the Spirit of God together to empower us and to live a godly life. That's what it's all about. And so unfortunately, these people are mad at me and these people are mad at me. You know, the Baptists think I'm a Pentecostals and the Pentecostals think I'm a Baptist. And so, but you know what? We need to be Word of God, Holy Spirit of God working together. That's what it's about. Okay? So we talked about on the Old Testament. I got to do this really quickly. We've got so much material. How about the filling of the Holy Spirit and what that was like? It was usually done for, it was poured out in certain circumstances, certain people, certain select people, kings, prophets, etc. I'm going to skip a lot of this stuff. But we talked about how Jesus said that whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within him. And by this he meant the Holy Spirit of God coming in and out, living water, flowing. That's what that means. We talked about in John 20:22 how the Holy Spirit was breathed on the disciples after Jesus' death and resurrection. They received it, and how in Acts chapter 1, the Holy Spirit came upon them. This is where that Joel verse was. We talked about the Trinity, how the Holy Spirit's a part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's also referred to as God in Acts chapter 5, verse 34. When they were with Ananias and Sapphira, you've not just lied to the Holy Spirit. You've not just lied to human beings, but to God. We talked about how the Holy Spirit possesses the attributes of God. He's omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, eternal, holy, creator. We showed you all those scriptures. We talked about how the Holy Spirit is a person, not a thing, not a force. This is not Star Wars or some sci-fi show. He has the characteristics of a person. He has a will. He prays. He has a mind. He loves. He searches. He reveals. He has knowledge, and he teaches. We showed you all that last week in an hour time. He's affected also by our attitudes. And this is kind of where we left off. We can lie to the Holy Spirit. We talked about that in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. We can grieve the person of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, right? We grieve the Holy Spirit of God when we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. We can also bring him joy when we do, right? We can also quench the Holy Spirit of God. We don't want anything to do. I don't want too much. I don't want to allow God to do anything like that. And listen, if you're in that camp, we love you. Okay? And if you're in this camp, we love you. But I want you to be guarded by the guardrails of God's holy word. Man, there's a certain power and protection that comes from his word. And then there's a certain pouring that comes from the Holy Spirit. And I want both for both camps. So regardless of what camp you're in, God wants to meld the two so that you can be all you are in Christ. So we can quench the Holy Spirit, it says. Do not quench the Holy Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. And lastly, we can actually insult the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 10:29 says, just think how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant, which made us holy, as if it were common and unholy, and have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit who brings God's mercy on us. So listen, God wants us to live a holy life. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. We don't want to insult the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to read these verses, and then we're going to go over them quickly. Actually, how about I just read the verse 1? Let me get through that one. Verse 29, right? And afterwards, we talked about that word akeder in Hebrew, behind, the hinder part, the last part. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in the last days, 28 and 29. So we're going to talk a little bit more about the Holy Spirit. We didn't talk about what he does. Okay? So what does the Holy Spirit do? The person of the Holy Spirit. And here's what it is. Okay? Because I'm excited about this. Because he does a lot. And I want you and I want us to realize all that he does for us. It's amazing. Listen, first, the Holy Spirit teaches us and reminds us. The person of the Holy Spirit does this. In John 14:26, it says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will do what to you? He will teach you how many things? And remind you of everything that I have said to you. So whenever you get the word in you and you're putting it in your mind, you're reading it, you're taking the time and you're hiding it in your heart, right? He's going to bring it up and remind it at just the right times, right? And that's our God. He's going to teach us everything. If I teach you anything today, can I tell you what? Honest to God, it is not me. It's only the power of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit living in me. He has gifted me with the ability to teach. You're thinking, not so well. But he has, to an extent. And that is why you're able to get anything. That's why anything. I can do anything here today and present anything. I am a knucklehead apart from Christ and the Holy Spirit of God. But he teaches and he reminds me and he wants to teach you. So you can thank him. Oh, Lord, thank you for teaching me all things, reminding me. That's why whenever you open your devotional, whenever you open God's word, and you should be doing that daily, here's what to do. You pray. You ask him. You seek. Ready? Right? Knock. Ask. Seek. Knock. You ask him. You say, Lord, will you help reveal things to me today? Will you supernaturally teach me something today in Jesus' name? Because he is the one that teaches you. Does that make sense? Okay, listen, the Holy Spirit also seeks to testify about Jesus. He seeks to testify about Jesus. John 15:26 says this, when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father will testify about me. So you know the Holy Spirit's working, right? Whenever the Holy Spirit is pointing to who? Absolutely. He's pointing to the cross. So listen, any of these guys on this camp who is all about the Holy Spirit, and I've got the big Darren Shettelbauer ministry, and you can buy Darren Shettelbauer hats with cool Darren Shettelbauer fire lightnings. It's not about that. Do you see what I'm saying? It's about Jesus. The Holy Spirit will testify about who? Say it. The Holy Spirit will testify about who?
Jesus.
Well, who will he testify about?
Jesus.
That's right. It's all about him. It's not about us. Does that make sense? It's not about our church. It's not about our ministry. It's about Jesus.
Right. The whole book is about Jesus.
It is. But some in that camp aren't about the book. And that's why we have to help them. He also, he's a person, the person of the Holy Spirit. He convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. This is in John 16:8-11. So before we get saved, right, he's out there convicting the world of sin and of God's, we are sinners, of God's righteousness, that he's holy, and that there's a coming judgment. When you know the Holy Spirit's working, when people are feeling that, they're thinking about the last days. They're talking about that maybe I am a sinner. That only happens as a result of the Holy Spirit working in a person. Otherwise, they're like, I'm fine. I'm not a sinner. There's no judgment day. We don't need to worry about that. But God is working, right? The Holy Spirit, he guides us into all truth. Now you'll notice they have got Bible verses for every one of these things. Listen, a lot of people will regurgitate things that they've heard other teachers say that sounds nice. We don't ever want that. We want to go back to God's word for everything we do. That's the happy guardrails, right, of the Holy Spirit. We want all the Holy Spirit has from us, right, with the guardrails and of the word of God. Capiche? All right. So here we go. The Holy Spirit, he guides us into all truth. John 16:13 says, When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also glorifies. Did I do this? Why am I? Something does not seem right. Oh, yeah. Okay. He glorifies Jesus Christ. Sorry, I thought for a minute there. Seeks to testify about Jesus. Okay. He glorifies Jesus Christ. All right. Again, John 16:14 says, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. It's always going to be about glorifying the name of Jesus. Does that make sense? All right. He also dwells within every believer. When you get saved, a supernatural thing happens to you. And I'm not talking about this gift, that gift. What I'm talking about, the best gift you could ever get is the salvation. It's God's Holy Spirit living in you. In the Old Testament, he would dwell in the ark, or he would dwell in the temple. Now you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. His presence, he wants to be so real in your life as much as you'll let him, that he says, I want to be not only with you, I want to be in you. That's how close I am. That's how relational I am. That's how much I love you. Son, daughter, hear me. Listen, there's a difference. Can I just be honest? There's a difference. A lot of people know me very well, but can I tell you something? You can ask Elijah, he happens to be standing right there, or my wife. I try to be the same outdoors as I am in my home, but there's a little bit of difference. There's a little bit more transparent. Maybe there's a little bit more depth. There's a little bit more when you enter my home. You see, I eat my pasta dinner like an animal or something, you know, whatever. But, and God's like, he wants that sort of intimacy and closeness. I want to be living right in your home, right with you. Does that make sense? And when you get saved, he comes and lives inside you to help you and guide you. It's beautiful. That's how much he loves you. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he doesn't have to do that, right? Think about all the flaws we have. Think about still the junk he's still trying to get out of us, right? You know it. I might not even know it, but you still got some junk in there. And he's like, hey, Kim, we got to clean this room. You know it. Hey, December, we got to dust this area here. It's getting a little stale. Hey, Kim, maybe we should put some, you get the idea, right? Here's what else the Holy Spirit does. Oh, wait, how do I do this? Oh, he deals with every believer. That's right. Romans 8:11 says, the Spirit of God who raised you from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you. Hallelujah. I have a new life, a new direction, a new purpose. He starts renewing my thoughts from the inside out. I got some stinking thinking in there. And he says, I'm going to renew it. I'm going to rewire you. That's our God. The Holy Spirit leads us as we submit ourselves to God. And I put that in there, as we submit ourselves, because we can be stubborn, rebellious people sometimes, right? If you want the Holy Spirit to lead you, then you have to be in submission to where he wants to lead. You don't lead him. Lord, we're going to do this thing. I want you to bless it. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. We're going this direction. Yeah, that's how I want God to operate. That's not how he operates. He's like, no, I want you to come the direction I want you to go. It might even be a different way, a different route than you thought. God bless you. Whatever. It's different. I want you to follow. Learn to follow me. Hear my voice. I want to lead you. And as you submit to him, to the Spirit of God, you deny your flesh, right? Deny your flesh, what you want, your desires, you want. I want this, I want that, I want this. And you give it over, whatever you want. He leads you. And it says, as in Romans 8:14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are what? Children of God. So listen, you, we, us, if you're a child, we have to be led by the Holy Spirit. You must submit to him. Otherwise, you are going to be one miserable creature. Capiche? But that's not all. Wait, there's more! It's like the Ginsu Ronco kitchen knives, right? The Holy Spirit of God, he also assures us that we're children of God. What? Really? Absolutely. This is from the Amplified Translation. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself testifies and confirms together with our spirit, assuring us that we are believers, that we are children of God. So listen, sometimes the enemy gets in our head or even our flesh. Oh, I don't know. And then the Holy Spirit comes along. Wait, you know you are. You know you're right. You screw it up. Let's just confess our sin, repent, and let me continue to follow you. Not only that, but the Holy Spirit equips us with spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, read the whole thing, but I've got about three verses for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4, I think I've got 7 and 11. He equips us with spiritual gifts. Now, some folks, unfortunately, on this are like, well, I don't want those things. I don't think they exist anymore, so we don't want to bother with those. And if you feel, well, the Lord loves you just as much, you say, but you're limiting him. And so, listen, if you don't want to ask for that or pray for those things, you can pray for me, because I need and I want everything God has to give me. I do. I need it. I'm a knucklehead. I need everything God has for me. Everything. So listen to this. He equips us with spiritual gifts. Don't get nervous. It's not weird. This is just God wanting to do things through us. He says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 is a New Living Translation, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. So he gives us each different gifts of the Holy Spirit because he wants us to use them, work together. Does that make sense? In fact, in 1 Corinthians, I don't have a slide for it, chapter 12, verse 6, it says there's even different kind of workings of the same gift, okay? But the Holy Spirit is the same source of all of them. It's a good gift. It's a perfect gift. It comes from above, okay? 1 Corinthians 12, 7 says that the manifestation of the Spirit, these gifts, is given for the common good. Or, this is my NIV, if you like the NLT better, it says a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. It's so that we can go forward with Christ, we can glorify the Lord together, we can do his work together. God doesn't give you a spiritual gift so you can be selfish and self-centered about it. He's giving it to you so you can use it in the body and with others to draw people to himself. Does that make sense? Do you hear me? He's not trying to be a jerk about it. He's like, I need you. You need me. Or he has to show us the hard way, and that's painful sometimes. But thank God he shows you because he loves you. I don't even know where the microphone is. Would you go bring it to Marcus Anthony over there? And as we're doing that, I'm going to back up one. All right, you're going to make me do that. All right.
In 7, which we're covering right now, just to be clear, it says, but to each one is given the manifestation. Not the gift for our keeping, for our use, for anything else. It is his power that is manifested in us at the time that it needs to be to bless other people.
Absolutely.
It is not a gift that we keep. We don't have it forever. He manifests himself in us so that we can build up others for the building up of the church. His gift, his empowerment through us, Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Yes. All right. And what are some of the gifts? There are more, but here are some. Okay. The 9 gifts, okay, of the Holy Spirit, supernatural gifts, some call them. Listen, so there's the word of knowledge. I'm just going to do quite very quickly. So God gives us sometimes a certain bit of information that we could not any wise other have supernaturally about a situation, about a person, to be able to help them, that we would not have had not the Spirit of God supernaturally told us that. A word of wisdom is how to apply that knowledge in a way that's right and good. The gift of prophecy we'll talk about in a second. The gift of faith. I have faith, but sometimes there's been times when, I don't know, he has just gifted me, supernaturally come up where I believed, it's almost like I was supercharged. I don't even know how to even say this, some of these things. I'm just trying to explain it in a Darren way, where I was so supercharged with faith that what I knew was absolutely impossible in my head, he came. Now, I didn't muster that up and believe it in faith. Oh, hallelujah. No, he just gave me the gift. And oh, my gosh, I knew this person was going to be healed. I remember praying. Should I mention it? No, I'll save that story for another time. Maybe we'll teach on the gifts another time. But the gift of healing. Oh, sorry. The gift of healing. Okay. And sometimes I've prayed for folks. They've been healed right there on the spot. Sometimes I prayed and they haven't. I don't know why. Sometimes the same thing has happened for me. But he can still heal today. The work of miracles. He can still do miraculous stuff. Psalm 77:14 says, you are the God of miracles. Not you used to be. The discerning of spirits. That's to be able to discern, is this the Holy Spirit speaking? Or is this my fleshly spirit speaking? Am I hearing? Or is this a demonic spirit that I'm listening to? Also, different kinds of tongues, whether it be angelic or different languages, and the interpretation of those tongues. Now, there's also equipping gifts. In Ephesians 4, 11 to 16, he equips some to be apostles, pastors, prophets, teachers, evangelists. Also, ministry gifts in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 for serving. Some of you have the gift of serving or exhortation or encouragement. I have these given me that gift. Mercy. Some of you, giving, some of you, man, some of you guys, we should all give, and we do, but some of you are just unbelievably generous with this, and here and online, and God's blessing because you use that gift. Sometimes the gift of helps or administration or leadership, you get the idea. And it's the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, that distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Okay? Does that make sense? So the Holy Spirit, what else does he do, Pastor? I'm so glad you asked. He also gives us the power for evangelism. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Okay? When 3,000 were saved, it started off when he came upon them, a P. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, a pi, a P in Greek. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. Acts 1:8. The Holy Spirit also gives us power to overcome sin and to be able to live a godly life. Now, this is probably one of the most frustrating things to me. Can I tell you something? What these people, and I'm always trying to bring both people into the, what these people over here, the word folks will almost always say when I'm trying to pull them this way is, I see a lot of those and their lives aren't what, they're still living a, debased life and they're all about the Holy Spirit in church. And then when they live their real life, you should see what they're like at home. And there's some truth to that. Listen, we have to understand the Spirit of God and the Word of God, he's given us the power to overcome sin, to be able to live a godly life. Listen, it may be more difficult for you because of your background or because of what you've allowed in your life or a habitual sin pattern, okay? But I'm here to tell you, if you haven't heard it, okay, that through the Word of God, his precious promises, and the power of the Holy Spirit, I am 100, 1,000, 1,000,000% confident that he can help you overcome any sin and every sin in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm not mad at anybody. I get excited. And I want people to hear. I want people to know. Don't tell me you're trapped in that sin. Lie that you're believing. Now listen, you might be struggling in it, trapped in it now, but I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is bigger and he is greater. And if he lives inside of you, let me tell you, you starve the flesh by the power of the Holy Spirit. You starve that flesh and it'll become weaker and weaker and weaker. And you feed the Holy Spirit. You feed off the Word of God. You feed the Lord, whatever you want, I'll do. You feed the Holy Spirit. You feed the Lord. Excuse me, feed the Holy Spirit. Don't feed the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit feeds you. You let the Lord, by the Word of God, work in you. I didn't have the scripture up yet, but 2 Peter 1:3-4. Listen to this. Listen to the scripture. He'll give you the power to overcome sin. It says, and Chris, would you flip the lights? Because I want people to see this. Okay, and I want you to remember it. Okay, his divine power, 2 Peter 1:3 says, has given us some things we need for life and godliness. What does it say? His divine power. That word in Greek, divine, theos, and power, dunamis, where we get our word dynamite, right? It means What does it mean? It means power. It means ability. It means, you know, he gives us godlike power, right? His godlike power has given us everything we need for life and godliness, or to live a godly life, some of your translations would say. Now, that's either true or it's not. I'm telling you, and God, more importantly, God is telling you that is true. You have everything you need for life and godliness, absolutely everything. He has given you that power. It says, through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Does that make sense? Believe it and receive it in Jesus' name. Trust him. Listen, here's the next verse, 2 Peter 1:3. Remember I told you how the Holy Spirit is good? And the word of God is good, because the Holy Spirit, people look at the word, people are so dry, I don't want anything of that. God wants them to use us together. So here we have the power of the Holy Spirit, and then the next verse here, 2 Peter 1:3, we're going to have 2 Peter 1:4, right? The word of God. It says, through these, his glory and his goodness, right? His divine power, right? He has given us his very, very great and precious promises. And here's why he's given that to us. So that through them, his very great and very precious promises, you may participate in the divine nature, right? Remember, last verse, divine power, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So, the Holy Spirit empowers the Word of God. And as you read the Word of God and you trust what he says and you hold on to that Word of God, I don't know if you can even see it in my little picture, scripture picture here, but you see the Bible here? See the verses coming alive? What looks like a face and hand, the Holy Spirit of God working through the Word of God. Okay, I love pictures. I'm a visual guy. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But so he uses this power, divine power, the dunamis of the Holy Spirit, the word of God is great, very great and precious promises, so that through them you can participate in the divine nature. Listen, you can be an addict to whatever. I'm telling you, the Lord is bigger than that. He's bigger than your mess. He's bigger than your alcohol. He's bigger than your porn. He's bigger than your wandering eye. He's bigger than your depression. He's bigger than your greed. He's bigger than your selfishness. He's bigger than whatever. He's bigger and he's greater. You ask for that divine power and you take in his very good and precious promises. And I don't know if I did this for the youth or for... I really don't remember if I did this last week, so if I did this illustration in my head, forgive me. But there was a time when Jesus was in the synagogue and then church service, basically, and somebody came in Jesus had come in and the Pharisees set up a trap and they put a crippled man who's been crippled from birth. He had a shriveled hand. Okay, it was shriveled. There was nothing. And when he came in, Jesus knew, or the Pharisees knew that how he trapped him. It's on a Sabbath. He can't heal people. But he's going to go because he's loving and kind and heal that person. You watch. And he did. And Jesus knew what they were thinking. And he said, you know what? Nellie, do you mind if I use you for this illustration? Okay. He says, I want you to stand up. And so the person stood up. Amazing. And then he said something that would have been really almost cruel. It would be like somebody had no legs and you said, hey, let's rock and roll. Let's go to a dance contest. He said, I want you to stretch forth your hand. Now that would almost be mean because he couldn't. It was literally shriveled up. But at that point, the person could say, well, Jesus, at his word, do I stretch forth my hand? And as that person trusted in God's word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, they were made whole right there before everyone. Does that make sense? Now, thank you. You did a fantastic job. Now, if that person, you know what? here at his word. He's saying it. I'm going to take you by the hand. I want to heal you. Stretch forth your hand and say, stand up and do it. And the guy said, "Or, nah, that's okay. I'm not into that whole standing up thing. I don't want the attention. But at my word, stretch forth your hand. Oh, I can't do it. You don't understand. I've had this shriveled hand for so many years. There's no way I can do it. There's no way I could have victory in this area of my life." That would have made sense, right? But instead, at his word, he took his hand and was healed. And I say that to anyone who's struggling with the sin. God is bigger than that. Right? You have to believe that. Well, I guess you don't have to, but then you're going to continue to sit there with the shriveled hand. And I don't want that. And more importantly, God doesn't want that. You remember that. The Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God working together. Capiche? I'm guessing you already have the microphone, Mark.
Yeah. You never give it up.
Go ahead, Mark.
So there's two things. One, in verse 1, it says the knowledge, according to our knowledge. We have to read the Word of God to know what's ours.
Absolutely.
And that's another reason that we need to be in the Word all the time.
Right.
And the other thing about reach out your hand, if we have continuing sin going on in our lives, we have to have the want to.
Yes.
We have to want to get rid of it.
Yes.
And stop being comfortable with it.
Yes.
To allow that power to work.
Yes.
In our
I'm
lives,
sure,
just like you said.
I'm sure it was very uncomfortable for that person to stand up in the synagogue because he knew everybody would be looking at him. 100%. But we have to do sometimes uncomfortable things. Also, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Romans 8:26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." And then lastly, what I have in here, what does the Holy Spirit do for us? And this is important. He sets us free. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Do you have freedom, or are you so bound up by your religious thingies? Right? Look, the guardrails of God's word are wonderful. But you also don't want to be so tight that you're constricting the Holy Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom in Christ. Look, I love the picture. We're just running, a child running, right? In a grassy area. Pastor Gary, how long have I been teaching?
43 minutes.
Okay, good. It says, "Your sons and daughters will prophesy," in verse 28. Now, this is really meaty stuff, but man, I'm telling you, this is gold. Okay? So, okay, your sons and daughter will prophesy. We read it in the book of Acts, right? It's quoted. He quotes Joel. This is, hey, the starting point of it. And last, in Acts chapter 1, or was it Acts chapter 2? No, I'm forgetting. Don't panic. 2? Yeah, okay, thanks. So it says that we'll be able to prophesy. So that's one of the gifts of the Spirit. And what does that mean when he's pouring out his Spirit? So, and I guess if I would have to say, what is prophecy in short? Prophecy is God speaking to men. Not men, man. I changed it because it could be a man or a woman. Does that make sense? Now this is, I'm going to give you a definition of prophecy. I didn't get this definition off of some theologian. So this is Darren's prophecy definition. So if you want to give me something that's a little bit better, I'm okay with that. I'll receive it. But just realize this is in Darrenese. This is not in some theologian's. Okay. All right. So this is my definition. Okay. The God-given. Hey, am I missing some of those words? Okay. The God-given supernatural ability to speak forth the words of God and or the mind and the heart of God to man. To receive and communicate a message from God to his people as he leads and empowers. Okay, so if I have a gift of prophecy, I just can't do it willy-nilly whenever I want. God has to he has to activate it. Like sometimes people come to me, hey, since you have this gift, give me a prophetic word. I don't know what to say to you. I have no idea. I'm no more spiritual than anybody else. It's just sometimes he put. Now, some people think it's teaching and preaching because it is from the Word of God. And there's an aspect of truth to that. And sometimes God will give me a word. For example, when he enacts it, he will give me a word for somebody. And I'll say, you know, I believe the Lord has a word for you. And here's the scripture verse. Or here, sometimes he'll just give me an address. I'll say, go look it up. I don't even know what it said. And they'll look it up. Oh, my God, this is exactly what I needed. No. So it's a little bit more than that. Now, sometimes it's predictive or warning in nature, but mostly it's comforting, encouraging, or exhortive in the body. Now, when we talk about prophecy being encouraging, sometimes the Lord encourages us to go a different direction. If you go in this, it's like a warning. You're going the wrong way. I want you to do this or whatever. It's generally encouraging or exhortive. In 1 Corinthians 14:3, because I want to give you Bible verses for everything I'm saying, so you know. We go back to scripture. Paul says that everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, or comfort. And that's why God does it. Sometimes he'll encourage you. Sometimes he'll comfort you in a difficult time. Sometimes, again, it'll be for encouragement. Sometimes the encouragement will take the form of a warning. It's encouraging you to go a different direction. If you go this way, this is going to happen. Don't do it. The gift of prophecy should be desired by all believers. Look, the Bible says, hear me now, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. Now, I can't answer that question for you. Do you eagerly desire the spiritual gifts? Some of you, yes. Some of you may not. Because maybe you've seen some wacky stuff on that side. I get it. But don't throw the babe out with the bathwater. We want all that God has for us. Amen? Don't be scared of a good gift from the Lord. Eagerly, he says, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. He says, especially gift of prophecy. Sometimes people have things in their mind, oh, I want this gift, I want that gift, I have the gift of blanks. And they wear it like a badge of honor, and I think, oh my goodness, how disgusting and prideful. Listen, whatever God gives you is great, but you want eagerly desire that gift because it helps build up the body. I forgot I put that in there. The gift of prophecy builds up the body. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, but the one who prophesies builds up the church or the church body. Okay? And then prophecy, this is super importante. Prophecy should be taken seriously. Okay? So, but also weighed and tested. All right? This is so important, okay? Here's what 1 Thessalonians 5:19 to 21 says. It says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. And he says, do not treat prophecies with contempt. Oh, I don't believe this. God can have a word for us today. Why not? Now, it's never going to is it ever going to contradict Scripture in any way, ever? Absolutely not. But God could, I've had people, man, I feel like this is from the Lord for you. I feel like I've got a word. It's in blah, blah, blah. Oh man, thanks. Wow, praise the Lord. So don't treat them with contempt, because I used to be in the camp, whatever. Don't do that. But then also in this camp, test those things. It says, but test them all and hold on to what is good. Can I tell you something? This is not on my slide thingy. Oh, he's going off book. Give me a second. But I want you to hear something. In the Old Testament, sometimes in this camp, somebody's given you a prophetic word, right? Or something like that, and it doesn't come to pass. Have you ever had that happen? And it's willy-nilly given so freely because they don't understand the difference between their flesh and a demonic spirit and the Holy Spirit. Okay, so they're just prophesying this, prophesying that, and you're like, man, that never come to ground. I don't want that Holy Spirit stuff. I ain't going to go back. No, don't do that either. Listen, but here's what it says. We're to test all these things, okay? Make sure it lines up with the word of God. If it doesn't, no thank you. But here's what it says in Deuteronomy. I don't know if I can find it. 13 and 18. Here's 1 and 18. I'm just going to read this to you first. This is in Deuteronomy 18. But Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 20 to 22 says, "But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded him to say, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, must be put to death." Woo! And how can we know the message has not been spoken by the Lord? If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not come to place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken presumptuously. Don't be afraid of him. So listen. So when the Lord gives me a word, and I watch Pastor Gary do this, I watch Lester do this as well. Hey, I think I have a word for you from the Lord. And I'll say, here's what it is, blank. And listen, if it's of the Lord, I want you to go and pray about it. If it's of the Lord, then he will speak that to your heart. And if it's not, then it was just Pastor D, maybe I just missed, you just read a little bit of extra scripture or something. So just pray about it. Go pray about it. So, but don't throw the babe out with the batter. There's another one, Deuteronomy also, Deuteronomy 13. Thank you, Lester. Yeah, he's right. If a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a miraculous sign or wonder, and if the sign or wonder of which he has spoken takes place, and he says, okay, so this one, it takes place, but he also says, hey, let's follow other gods, let's not listen to what the Bible says, blah, 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 blah. It says, and let us worship them. He says, you must not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love him, whether with all your heart and with all your soul. It is the Lord you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands, the word of God, and obey him. Serve him and hold fast to him. So the word of God and the spirit of God always work together. They're not separate. God doesn't want them to be separate. He wants them to be working together. When you see prophecy, you see a lot of prophecy in the Old Testament. You'll see it. I'm going to wait on that. I'm just going to give you. Let me just give you some prophecy in the New Testament, just so you know. With Timothy, okay, this is in 1 Timothy 1:18. Says, Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you. They're based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier. May they help you fight well in the Lord's battles. So those prophetic words were given to encouragement and to help him fight whatever God has, any of the spiritual battles. Now, that's to encourage this camp. Now, this camp is like, hey, some of the people in Corinth were like, oh, I have the gifts of the Spirit, so I don't need to be loving, and I don't need to do what the Word of God says. And Paul says, oh, no, you need to have, listen, if I have the gift of prophecy, and I can fathom all mysteries, and I have all knowledge, and even if I have faith that can move mountains, I got all the gifts, woo-woo, but I do not have love, he says, I am what? Nothing. I want you to know prophecy was all over in the New Testament. Listen, here's another one. Another one. Here's another one. Okay. This is in Acts 11, 27, 29. It says, during this time, some prophets came down. This is way in the book of Acts. down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and through the Spirit predicted, that's prophecy, that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius, and the disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for their brothers and sisters in Judea. Here's the next one. In Acts, way later, in Acts chapter 21, I don't know if this is the same Agabus, but 21, 10 to 11, several days later, a man named Agabus, who also had the gift of prophecy, arrived in Judea. And he came over and he took Paul's belt, bound it around his own feet and hands. And he said, then he said, the Holy Spirit declares, so shall the owner of this belt be bound by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem and be turned over to the Gentiles. And Paul said, you know, he had discernment. He's like, yep, you're right. That is going to happen. But I'm going to go anyway because people tried to stop him. But wait, Pastor. But wait, in here in verse 28, it says, but your sons and daughters will prophesy. You didn't say anything about women. These are all men. I'm so glad you asked that question. Because also in the book of Acts, much later, 21:89, there's a guy by the name of Philip. He's an evangelist. They're visiting him. And it says, the next day we went on to Caesarea and stayed at the home of Philip the evangelist, one of the seven who had been chosen to distribute food in the early days of Acts. And he had four unmarried daughters who had the gift of
prophecy.
Your sons and daughters will prophesy. All right, Gary, what time is it?
3 after 12.
Oh, my goodness. How much time have I taught?
55 minutes.
I'm sorry. We got a lot still to cover. So next week we're going to talk about dreams and visions and what that is. And we want to be keeping things, again, open to everything the Holy Spirit has within the strong and the loving guardrails of the Word of God. Makes sense to everybody? Okay? So let's do that. Let's pray right now. Okay? And you can just pray with me. Father, we want to just ask you for, and folks at home, you can pray this as well. Lord, we just want to ask, your word says, every good gift, perfect gift comes from above, Lord. We only want your good gifts, Father God. We ask for whatever gift your Holy Spirit would like to give us that we might better glorify you, Lord. We want all that you have for us, Lord. We ask that you would help us not to be dry and not welcome what you have for us. But we also ask that we don't make the mistake of letting demonic spirits or our fleshly spirit. We just want the Holy Spirit. We want you, Lord. So anything good that you have for us, we ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. And we want to be open to all that you have for us, Lord, so that we can glorify the name of Jesus until we come home to be with you, so that we can overcome any sin and every sin, so we can build up the body of Christ, Lord, which you designed us to do. So help us to be found faithful and to do what it is you've called us to do in the manner you've called us to do it, according to your words. Let us not hoard the stuff for ourselves, but to give it away freely, because you've given it to us freely. Bless this group here that are watching at home and this group that are sitting here and all the ones that are at home today, Lord. Hopefully they're watching or will watch later on in the week, Lord, that you would speak clearly to them, Lord God, and do whatever it is and all that it is that you want to do in their lives and in mine. We ask for the blessing of your Holy Spirit, that we receive you, Lord God, open-heartedly, wholeheartedly, Lord. And we thank you for your very great and precious promises, Lord, that guide us. They truly are a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We love you and we bless you. And we ask your blessing on this congregation in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 God bless you guys. Have a great week in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.